see each one this morning. Again, we like to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1, looking at the results of a reprobate mind. In verse 29, being filled, overflowing, ongoing with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. Then again he says, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, and he continues, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable or unappeasable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So not only is there a filling of these things, that is, they become so common, we see also that people take pleasure in these as well. We come today, we closed last week with covetousness, and we come today to the word maliciousness. Maliciousness. That's a word that pretty much describes our society. It's everywhere. There's hardly any place you can go where this is not present. Maliciousness. And again, it's being full of maliciousness. Not only do these things prevail in society, but they have an impact upon God's people as well. And therefore, you will find these things, not all of them, of course, but many of them, in the Lord's churches as well, not to the same degree that you find them in society. But these things, society being filled with them, it does leave an impact upon God's people as well. Maliciousness. And this is one that I believe God's people are very guilty of. And Facebook doesn't help. In fact, it feeds it. But the Greek word is kakia. Kakia. And it's translated malice in the New Testament. It is a word that denotes the thought or disposition. So it can be carried into action, of course, but it's a thought, a disposition of ill will, of ill will. There are a lot of people, sadly, even some of God's people, who would rejoice if something bad happened to you. They have ill will. Oh, they may not express it, but it's there. It's a thought or disposition of cruelty, hatefulness. None of us, I suppose if you go back to Civil War times, none of us are that old. But this country is overrun with hatefulness. I mean, it's everywhere. We're just flooded with it. That's maliciousness, spite, vindictiveness, This is maliciousness. This is malice. The thought or disposition of vindictiveness. I will get back at you. People keep score. I will get back. I will ruin you. It's everywhere. It's everywhere we turn. Scornfulness. Bitterness. This maliciousness will proclaim something false and defame another with malicious intent. Or it will also perhaps not proclaim it, but will gladly believe it when someone else proclaims it. It doesn't take much today to ruin a person. And here's why. Maliciousness. All you have to do is say something about somebody and people will believe it. There will be enough to believe it. They will not check the facts. They will just simply believe. That's maliciousness. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, love thinketh no evil. So now you've removed love. Because love doesn't believe the bad that it hears about others. But see, today people are quick to believe. Someone says something about Brother Jim, there'll be people quick to believe everything that was said. Not only will they be quick to believe it, they will spread it as well. That's maliciousness. And then they will give a half apology by saying, well, I didn't know. Well, you shouldn't have spoke then. If you don't know, then be quiet. Maliciousness. It's everywhere. And we see this is part of a reprobate mind. Again, a reprobate mind in and of itself cannot find its way back to sanity. And so it is with this maliciousness. It's basically what we read of in Jeremiah 18, if we turn over there. Jeremiah 18, verse 18. Then said they, come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah. Now there's a lot of sin in that statement, but maliciousness is one of them. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Here, maliciousness would, which it does, it's one of the characteristics, would do them harm. We will not give his word heed. We will not pay attention to what he says. And that all that it does, of course, is hurt them. But malice will control and govern the mind. And it'll cause several things. Once maliciousness sets in, people begin to have a distorted perspective. Again, it can be proclaiming something about somebody with malicious intent. It can be believing something about somebody with malicious intent. But whether it be proclaiming or believing, it will give one a distorted perspective. You hear something about somebody. Somebody says something. You perhaps may not wholeheartedly believe it. You may not even believe it. But your perspective begins to change. That's what maliciousness does. It changes perspective. Once perspective is changed, now you've got a lot of real problems that are going to follow. There's a distorted view of reality. What a person thinks now becomes real to them. It may not be the truth at all, but it's reality in their mind. Distorted reality. Now, if your reality is distorted, there will be distorted assumptions as well. And if our assumptions are distorted, there will be distorted judgment. And if judgment is distorted, there is a distorted conclusion. And all of these things, what they do is just feed malice. It feeds maliciousness. It's of a growing nature. All sin is. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Familiar verse, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. The leaven of malice, it grows. It releases, the leaven releases gases, causing expansion, if you will. The leaven of malice. Malice releases, and it grows. It grows in the individual who has it, but it also grows amongst individuals as well. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, Paul's instruction is, brethren, be not children in understanding. When you read the word children here, think of immaturity. Brethren, be not immature in understanding. Howbeit, in malice, be ye children. Be ye children. But in understanding, be men. The phrase we're interested in, of course, is in malice, be ye children. And you think about that. For the most part, children are not malicious. They get over things pretty quick. That's not so with adults. And that's why Paul says here, in malice, be like children. Be like children. Children can be mad at each other. 30 seconds later, they're hugging each other. Nobody's made an apology or anything. That's just the way it is. They don't hold on to things. But adults, oh, it's completely different. So in malice, be ye children. And we get a better understanding of the sin of malice by looking at the other words translated with it throughout the New Testament. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, discord, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So notice bitterness. Bitterness is a root sin. Wrath, that's anger, but it's not just anger. It's an anger with a desire to do harm. Clamor, discord, evil speaking. Where you find malice, you will find bitterness. Where you find malice, you will find wrath. You will find anger, clamor, and evil speaking. Someone says concerning evil speaking, well, what I'm saying is the truth. It may be so, but what is your intent? What is your intent with speaking that truth? Is it to destroy? That's malice. You can cover it with the veil of truth all you want to, but it's malice. Malice is intent. Malice, again, is a thought. It's a disposition. Notice in Colossians 3, verse 8. Colossians 3, verse 8. But now ye also put off all these. And we see the same words with a couple added. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Notice in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. Titus 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice. Living in malice became their life. It grows. Living in malice. And then notice the word connected with it, an envy. Living in malice and envy. Hateful and hating one another. People think today that they can cover their hatefulness with just some smooth words. That doesn't cover it. That doesn't cover it. Where there's malice, if it's not from the get-go, it will be there. Hateful. Hating one another. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. Notice what's connected with it, guile. It's cunningness, deceitfulness, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. So malice is a horrible thing. Malice is very destructive. We see it's connected with anger. Notice in Proverbs chapter 22, not all anger, of course, is sinful. But if it becomes malicious, it's now sinful. In Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25, make no friendship with an angry man, and with furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. The malicious individual has his ways, and it will be a snare. Maliciousness is a trap that will snare our soul. Now in our text in Romans, we see being filled with all malice. That is, a people given over to a reprobate mind, hatefulness, spite, vindictiveness becomes widespread. It becomes common. It's the common thing. It's just what you do. And of course, you look at the political arena today, there's maliciousness everywhere. I suppose that's always been true in politics, but not to the extent that it is today. And this is part of this cycle. So, and then after he mentions malice, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, he then says again, full of. Full of. Again, he's stressing a degree. He's stressing a degree of these sins, an overflowing, a saturation. So much so that it becomes commonplace, it becomes epidemic. And then he mentions envy. That's the next thing he mentions. Envy. The order here is very significant. Maliciousness, envy, murder. That's the order. I mean, you could put these things in any order, but that's not what the Holy Spirit did. He put them in a specific order. And I believe there is a teaching in this order. So we now come to envy. Envy, of course, is the feeling. Again, it's inward. It shows itself outwardly. But it's the feeling of displeasure and ill will and malice. Where there's envy, there's malice, and vice versa. So it's the feeling of displeasure and ill will and malice, seeing or hearing of the advantage or the prosperity of others. If things are going well for you, say you're prospering. Say you're prospering materially. You're prospering financially. You're prospering in every way. Just because of that, you will have enemies. You will have enemies. Why? You say, well, I didn't do anything. You don't have to. Envy. Envy. People, and I'm talking about society, that's where it's overflowed. Then it affects God's people. God's people are impacted. But envy. It is resentful, dissatisfied longing for what another person has. It could be possessions, it could be position, it could be their family, it could be anything. I mean, there doesn't seem to be anything off limits to envy. It can be achievements or success. If a person is envious of you, that person is dangerous. Envious people are dangerous people. Envious people can cause great harm, great destruction. You see it all through the scriptures. It has its root in selfishness, has its root in pride. Again, they will look at somebody who is prospering, and their thought is, that person is so proud. But the fact is, that may be so, but the fact is that you envy them, you're proud. You think you should have it. That makes you proud. So it has its root in selfishness. It has its root in pride. Has its root in dissatisfaction. And again, you can notice what is associated with envy. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we've already seen that envy is in Titus 3:3 and 1 Peter 2:1, envy is associated with malice. 1 Timothy 6, verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, evil assumptions. Envy caused Cain to kill his brother. Envy caused Sarah to mistreat Hagar. Envy caused Joseph's brothers to sell him into slavery. Envy's dangerous. Envy is a dangerous thing. And society is overrun with it. And it is the result, again, of a reprobate mind. God turning a people over to a reprobate mind. God help us not to be guilty, not to be have our lives overflowed with these things as is happening in society. Full of, being filled with maliciousness, full of envy. And then the next one is murder. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for how you bless our lives so many ways, innumerable ways. Lord, we pray that you would just draw us closer to thee. Cause us, Lord, to be more like thee in everything that we say and everything that we do and everything we think. Lord, just draw us close to thee. We do pray for those that are here without Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would open their hearts to salvation this day, that you'd save their soul. We pray that everything we do today would bring honor and glory to your name. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.